Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we are talking about the last Best Picture nominee for the 2023 Oscars.
No.
What?
Not the last. We still have Zone of Interest.
That's nominated for Best Picture too?
Yeah, I was just looking at an article of the nominations and Zone of Interest is on there for Best Picture. I'm not joking. At least that's what Variety had on their website. Are they wrong?
I'm looking this up right now. I literally am blindsided by this.
I thought American Fiction was our last one too.
No, it's not. We do have Zone of Interest. Oh, I'm so sorry, everybody. Ooh. Big sad.
That big I'm letdown.
That I'm feeling right now. I was like 100% sure. I really haven't been on top of this. Anyway, we're talking about American Fiction today.
Our second to last.
Went to go see this in theaters, and I think we both saw it on the same day.
We did. Yes.
It was
fun to watch. I think I was alone seeing this as well.
I went with with my husband. Oh, God. And there was like a sizable amount of people in there for a, indie film that was re-released in theaters because of, well, not re-released, but like kind of having more showings because of the Oscar nominations.
Yeah, it was just me and my kind of disappointing cookies and cream milkshake in this theater. And a fly. Oh my God. There was a fly in my theater.
Was it flying in front of the projector?
It was flying in front of the projector, and it kept flying around me because I was the only human being in that fucking theater.
Oh.
I was like, if you come near me, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Like, that's what I was gonna say to that fly. But yeah, that was my experience in American Fiction in theaters.
Before
this was not what I expected it to be.
I didn't even see one trailer for this. I only knew that Jeffrey Wright was in it. So that was my only context for this movie. And, I was very happy that it wasn't super depressing. Like, it was kind of lighthearted in general. Except for when his sister died. So.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be more of a comedy, and it was, but it was kind of like a dark comedy.
It was a drama comedy,
a drama comedy and like a little, like satirical.
Yeah.
A little bit as well. So kind of in that aspect. But yeah, this, I want to read the book that it's based off of.
Looks
fun. I think the book is called Erasure, mm-hmm. Or something. So I'll definitely look into that in the future. But I don't think I'd seen a single trailer for this as well. And Jeffrey Wright's kind of everywhere. I just watched Rustin.
Oh, he's in that too.
He's in that as well.
Yes, oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I mean, he has had, obviously, a massive resurgence since Westworld came out, a while
very
back.
True, very true.
And he was always around. I mean, he just was one of those actors that you just didn't really notice until his pretty much like breakout performance in Westworld. So, and he got an Oscar nomination for this.
Yes. Yes.
So... good for him. He also plays a grumpy professor, just like in The Holdovers. So the two of them are grumpy professors that kind of
get like less grumpy, hard-ass professors. Yeah.
You kind of get the tone of the movie based off of the score, I believe, which is generally a kind of, it has its sappy moments, but it also has its kind of lighthearted, light piano kind of, moments too, which kind of starts off the comedic ness of this movie. He is like an I think a literature professor or something, where he talks about African American literature, and it's kind of like he's fighting with a student in the very first scene about her objection to the use of the N-word, even though it's a historical context. And you kind of get his personality and everything from that small exchange.
Yes. It's a very strong first scene to really get to know our character.
Yeah. And his fellow professors don't like him. Like then we move on to them screaming at him, being like, "Dude, you're such a hard ass. No one likes you."
Yeah, and then they kind of force him into a leave of absence or like a sabbatical
Yeah,
of
to
sorts,
visit his family
basically.
in Boston. Another Boston ba again, it's Boston based grumpy professors.
That's where all the grumpy professors are, apparently. They're in Boston. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
but
then we
he's a
kind of
writer.
learn that he is also a writer. Yes, so he's not only a professor, but he's also a writer, and his writing is very good, but it's not very popular. Not a lot of people buy what he writes, and he is in need of money. You know, there's lots of this. Again, this movie was so, it was so good. Like, it was so different, because it could have just been your very like cliche, cheesy kind of drama romance type of thing. It had a little bit of everything, but it was done like not in a cheesy, cliche kind of way. It was done like in a very artful, like smart way. Like, it was, I don't know, it felt like an HBO show. Like, it was so witty and smart. Like, I really liked it.
And it got nominated for Best Picture because of that. I think I totally agree with you with the content, and the screenplay was pretty strong. I do feel like there could have been a little bit more trimming of the screenplay. I felt like it kind of had a little bit of extraneous strings that maybe could have been trimmed down a little bit. And same thing with the editing of this film and the direction of some of the actors. I felt like the main actors were absolutely incredible, but some of the smaller scenes and the kind of editing, that it just didn't have that kind of snappiness that I think we are coming to expect, especially with Best Pictures, where things kind of flow well. And I felt like the flow was kind of off in some scenes, like especially when he was talking with his agent. It was just sometimes the scene just could not be, it was kind of stuttering, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like a little choppy. There were definitely some scenes that really flowed well together, but then yeah, kind of like these scenes with the side characters were a little choppy, and maybe like just not as congruent with the rest of the story. And kind of like the ending was a little weird. Like,
I
you kind of
agree.
get like a twist at the end that kind of came out of nowhere, that was cool, and I kind of wish we had some time to maybe expand on it. But it was like, so you have this whole story kind of happening, and then at the very end you kind of realize that this was like a movie being produced this whole time,
In a way,
and
yeah.
in a way, like,
That doesn't really have an ending, and the ending is kind of extrapolated from the main
and kind of
character.
open-ended.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
open-ended. Like, he doesn't end up with the girl in real life, Thelonious Monk.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of just,
Yeah.
like, doesn't like, it doesn't actually, it's more realistic in that way, where it's like it doesn't actually work the way that he, like, it would have liked it to work out, like, especially with Coraline. So then it's just kind of like a fake ending where they're like, well, the ending of the movie could be it's like a romantic comedy where he shows up at her house and she's like, well, you better come inside. And then it just like flies over, you know, that flies up and out of the shot. And that's the end of the movie. Or he gets shot by all the cops because they think that he's actually an ex-con. And that's the end of the movie. But then the end of the movie is that he is making this movie and his brother comes and picks him up on the studio lot. And that's the end.
Yeah, so it just kind of ended in kind of this kind of rough,
yeah,
rough kind of open end. Like, okay, so what is the ending? And it's like, well, I mean, is this kind of the situation where it's like, do you decide or you want? Yeah, it's like, okay, it just, that's the end. It's not done, but it's the end.
Yeah, and I think because of that, like, situation, it did kind of surprise me that this movie was nominated for Best Picture. Not that I don't think it should have been. It's just, I think it really is that the content of it and what it has to say about the discourse, like, in terms of, like, what the main character is kind of hung his hat on in terms of, like, how Black people are represented in media. Like, all of that is such a good thesis that they just, it kind of increases the story and it makes this a much more prestigious kind of movie than if it was just like a regular indie film, like, that had some things to say but wasn't nominated for an Oscar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was really fun. It was funny. Like, there's some great characters in this. I mean, my favorite, honestly, was Sterling K. Brown's character, Clifford. He was hilarious. Like, everything that he said, everything that came out of his mouth was just, he's so, I love him so much.
He was absolutely perfect. he was such a good character. I think, like, Jeffrey Wright's character, a monk, his sister, and his brother, mm-hmm. and even his mother, like, they had such great chemistry. Mm-hmm. They were such a good, like,
great
family unit, as well as who was their,
their like cook, Lorraine.
Yes, Lorraine.
She was amazing.
Like, they were, like, they were so good. Like, the scenes that they had together were so, just like, they felt so real and mm-hmm. just like realistic, and their chemistry was so good. Like, they actually, I felt like they were a family.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought those scenes were very strong.
And their like dysfunctionalness was so, like, the center of the story.
Oh yeah.
So,
oh yeah,
it was great.
Completely. It was very good. And that's why it made it hurt so much more when Lisa passed mm-hmm. so suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just thing after thing, and then we're kind of hearing all of Clifford's situation going on.
Yeah,
so, but, like, just like the humor of it coming out, because, like, that's how a lot of people deal with their struggles. It's just through humor, and it's so real, and it's so good. I'm looking at the other stuff that the director and writer worked on, Cord Jefferson. He wrote for the Good Place and Watchmen. Dude, this is like the third or fourth time we've been hearing about Watchmen. I gotta watch that show.
Yes, that is amazing. He wrote 9 episodes of that show. Like, definitely worth watching. And again, like, that also is a very present
Master
good show.
Of None.
Yeah, that's a good show too.
I watched a little
too.
Bit of that show. Yeah, I remember really liking it.
Cool. Good for this guy. You did it, Cord.
Yeah.
You really was nominated.
I think this is his directorial debut.
I think so.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we've got a lot of those this year for these directors. I mean, it's
that's amazing.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
I think also the comedy of the central plot that he has to, he doesn't have to, but he has to basically pretend like he's an ex-con so that he could sell this, in his opinion, trash novel, is pretty funny. Like, him getting and going all the way to the end and winning, like, an award for it and no one knowing who he is. The lie just compounding on itself.
Yes, because the current trend in the book publishing industry is just like very stereotypically black characters and just very like that, not every black person is like this, is like that. And he just wants to write what he wants to write, but no one wants to read that. And so
just because it's good writing doesn't mean it's like something that is kind of consumable or makes a lot of money, right?
yeah, even if it's something that you love to write about. I mean, you could definitely make something that you love that not everyone else loves. But so he writes this book that he's not proud of and he's kind of embarrassed about.
He's super embarrassed. And he's a real dick about it too. It's horrible.
The fact that people are liking this book, he just is so judgmental of everyone who reads, like with the scene with Coraline.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "You read this book?" And she's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "And you liked it?" And he gets so mad at her. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, he has his values, and he finds that kind of stereotypical, like, gang-related black fiction and media is, like, so backwards to, like, other black voices in America. But I think it's kind of like, once you kind of get to that point, especially with the girlfriend, you start to realize that it's not that he's upset about this kind of also valid black media. He's really just kind of, it's because of himself. Like, he doesn't actually believe that he can, like that the black man in America is respected, and therefore he, like, it's kind of like all turning into how upset he is that he has to, like, deal with his mom and his brother and, you know, have a decent girlfriend without pushing her away. Like, it's kind of like that self-hate that is perpetuated, and therefore he kind of, like, starts to realize that by the end of the movie. But I feel like it was, like, he could have realized it just a little bit more, and then we would have a little bit more of a satisfying ending.
Yeah, and he was kind of internalizing all of those feelings and pushing it out against the people that he was caring about.
Yeah.
Kind of lashing out at anyone.
Totally. But again, his situation was also very realistic in that there's a lot of people in the world that have to care for elderly parents, and they have to figure out how to make money, and they lose people. And, you know, it just, the rug is pulled out from under him when his sister dies. So he has to really figure it out.
Yeah, because that's when he kind of figures out that he's been distant from his brother and sister, and even from his mother. He, like, never comes home to visit. He never calls. He doesn't even know what his brother's up to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he really starts to rekindle his relationship with his family as he takes this time to kind of care for his mother, who's getting, like, dementia?
Yeah. She,
Alzheimer's?
Yeah, Alzheimer's,
A little bit of both?
Yeah.
All the above?
So she's having a really hard time, and he has to put her into a home.
Yeah, which is very scary, and not, and I'm sure no one wants to see their parents go through that.
Absolutely.
Or have to go through that themselves.
Yeah. It's another reason why this movie is so relatable. And it just, yeah, like you said, it covers so many topics. I mean, just about what it's like. Like, it's a realistic kind of story. We all just keep going. And there's so many things that probably a lot of people really connect with this movie. Like, it's life. It's like every little small thing you have to think of, like, who's gonna pay the light bills, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also the happy moments, like when Lorraine meets up with Maynard again, and then they rekindle this long-time crush that they've had on each other, and then they get married.
Yeah, and it's like so sweet, and they're older, so they're just like, you know what, we love each other, let's get married. They have a very nice wedding on the beach. I think it's in Scituate, which is not too far from here, you know, on the coast. Mm-hmm. That people have like those.
Yeah, looked like a very East Coast beach town.
It was in Massachusetts. Yeah. Yeah, we can go there if you want. But it's like,
sure.
There's like, you know, the cute little town kind of feeling as well. But I also noticed in that sense, this movie really was quite low budget. Like they really did a lot with the actors and kind of pretty bare bones sets. You know, the house on the beach.
Yeah, they were only in like a very handful of places.
Mm-hmm.
And very like, and not a whole bunch of like ensemble. Like it was just very, yeah. That's why it felt like a show. Like it felt like it was filmed like an HBO show.
Yeah. It's just like scene after scene and like the kind of the same.
Which I mean have crazy budgets, but like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they filmed a lot everywhere around Boston. So like there's just.
Yeah.
But there wasn't like the same. It wasn't the same as the holdovers where they were like in very notable locations in Boston. Like this was kind of more. Like he walked down the street like once and then they were like down in the seaport at that. There was a restaurant that he went to with Wiley, the movie producer, and that's down. Like they were like kind of not where people are. They were like out in the suburbs, or you know, and in that absolutely gorgeous house. That's like that Victorian style house that they live in. It's so beautiful. Though I mean. There's all sorts of those kind of houses around here and you just like don't see those on the West Coast and they're just so, so, so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to mention that I thought that his scenes with Issa Rae were very good. The scenes in general with the readers, with the author's board, that thing that he volunteered for was pretty funny.
Yes.
And that's kind of when Monk has like his breakthrough when Issa Rae basically tells him off.
Yeah. To defend her own book, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I mean, she's very proud of, and she makes money off of. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And she's not self-conscious about it, and he needs to deal with his insecurities.
It was a very pointed conversation. Like, they really... She just got him. Like, she's like, well, maybe it's you.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. He's really kind of an asshole, like, most of the time in this movie.
Yeah, and it's like... And I feel like we kind of got those parts of him in pockets. Because, like, yes, in the very beginning... We see that he's a hard ass and we see that he's, you know, very judgmental and almost snobbish when it comes to his writing and other people's writing. And then, you know, we kind of get this very caring part of him for quite some time when he's like with his family and seeing his brother and kind of figuring what to do about his mom. And then don't really see that like angsty side of him again until he starts meeting with the, like with the board and kind of like his book is taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's, which I mean, definitely just shows the ebbs and flow of a person and kind of when those insecurities kind of lash out, at random points, obviously. So like, not to say that it was inconsistent in his character or anything, but just, he didn't seem very grumpy like the whole time.
Yeah, he had some happiness, especially also with Coraline. Like they had some really cute scenes together as well.
They did, yes. I really liked Coraline.
I liked her a lot as well. She was very down to earth and also was not afraid to speak her mind. Which I think he kind of encounters these strong personalities pretty much the whole time that just don't have any, like, they don't care what he thinks. Like, they'll just say whatever they're thinking and what their opinion is without kind of, like, the air of, like, you know, pretending to make somebody like you. It's like, no, you're going to have your opinion and you're all going to have the very defined opinions. And that's kind of fun watching characters spar and, like, have a good conversation. And it's, yeah, like, I think sprinkled in with all the comedy, it's really enjoyable in that sense. Like, pretty much all of the conversations with Wiley or those, the two, like, publishing house people.
Oh my gosh, the publishers.
Oh my god. They were just, I mean... They're talking about, you know, they like, were... white guilt pretty much the whole time in this movie. Like, just trying to make white people feel better about, you know, buying a book. Like, trying to, like, reflect on the black population. So they're just, they get, like, this, you know, type of person. Like, the person who is, like, the publishing lady. She just says, like, all these really, like, cringy... Just... Cringy,
almost insincere, like,
it's like
things
going so far in the direction of trying to be PC that it's just, it sounds insane. You know,
ugh, she just doesn't sound human.
But you know, that's like, so it's so funny because she's satirizing like real people. Yes. Who probably actually, yes, do say this stuff, and people who try to market books and people who try to sell things, like even movies, like even people who make movies, like executives, don't know what the people really want, but they think they do, and so they say everything like really confidently.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible.
Oh gosh, yes. Oh man. Oh, it was so funny.
And he wanted to change the name of the book just to see how far he could push them. And yeah. He was like, I think we should change the name of the book to Fuck. And they had to,
like, you know what? That's it's so raw.
Let's, you know what? Let's do it. And then eventually it like makes even more, like it probably makes even more money than if he would have done his like slang title for like, what is it, it was gonna be something like my life, but
oh,
it was gonna be a word that had a ph in it, but then he put an f in it instead, so it was supposed to be kind of the like Avi speak.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was,
you know.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah, I can't remember what the original title was.
Yeah.
Because Fuck was just so much more raw. And memorable.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, they really, so you know, funny. They really push it with the satire to make it even more crazy. Like, even, you know, to make all the language that they're using a little bit more off-putting and hilarious, you know.
Yes, most definitely off-putting. My goodness.
Yeah, this was a fun movie. I would watch it again. I'm glad I saw it in theaters.
I think I would too. Yeah,
I'd recommend it.
I'm glad me and this fly watched it in theaters together.
Yeah. Oh
gosh.
So there's.
Okay, do you want to take a quick break and then we'll
do some trivia?
Yeah,
sounds good.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay. We are back.
Let's see.
There's some plenty trivia of jazz on the soundtrack. None of it is by Thelonious Monk, after whom the lead character is nicknamed.
Oh.
That's cute. Based on the book Erasure, like we said. First Best Picture nominee to include the term Oscar bait in the film.
Oscar bait.
I love that. That is so funny.
Cora Jefferson's directorial debut. We already covered that, yes.
I also love this is a good one. In the movie, when discussing the film rights to the fictional novel Fuck, Michael B. Jordan is mentioned as the potential lead actor. Michael and Sterling K. Brown starred together as son and father in Black Panther.
That's right, they did.
And also, people thought he looked like Tyler Perry, and they were just joking about that.
Yes, it's like, you're never going to find anyone to play me. And they're like, they actually did, it's Tyler Perry.
Silly. That's a silly joke. It is his directorial debut. I was also going to read what else it got nominated for, because it got nominated for 5 Oscars. It's opening. I don't know what it is about IMDb, but when you click on the nominations, it takes longer for it to load the page than all the other clicks. Okay. Are you still there, Emily?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. This movie was nominated for 5 Oscars, which is for original score for Laura Karpman. Great job, Laura Karpman. What other things have you done?
Ooh.
I gotta look it up. Oh, she did the Marvels.
Oh.
Good job, Chica. She did some What If. Some other movies.
I still haven't seen the new season of that.
Ms. Marvel, the TV series. Wow. It's very exciting for her. Sorry.
Lots of Marvel.
Going back to this, it takes a moment for the... Okay, Best Picture. Best Performance in Actor in a Leading Role for Jeffrey Wright. Supporting Actor for Sterling K. Brown. And Adapted Screenplay for Cord Jefferson.
Ooh, okay.
Excellent.
Very nice. Kind of slim pickings with this trivia over here.
Yeah.
I can do the plot keywords. Let's see. So we've got... satire comedy, race relations, African-American stereotype, high concept comedy, author. High concept comedy.
What does that even
I
mean?
Like that. Apparently Barbie is also high concept comedy. Okay. Bottoms.
Bottoms?
The show Ghosts.
What?
Yeah, the British Ghosts.
I don't understand.
I don't see how Mr. and Mrs. Smith is high concept comedy, but all right. And Ted?
What?
Free Guy? I don't know. Okay.
These are just comedies. Like I don't understand.
The good place.
The
I feel like...
I don't know. What does that even have to... I guess maybe it's just... a comedy that's more like a movie, and I don't know, like, isn't every comedy like that? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, I don't think all comedies have a high concept.
True. I mean, some are much better movies than others, you know?
Does it just mean that, like, it goes into deeper things? Like, sure. Like, is that kind of what that means? Like, they're a bit more smart?
Yeah, like for example, you're going to talk about, like, maybe the movie, like, The Other Guys versus, I don't know, Sex Drive. Like, one of those movies is clearly better than another. You know what I mean? But, like, does that mean it's high concept?
Yeah. I don't know. That's the first we've heard this term. So, I don't know. Maybe there's some preference to what you think is high concept.
I'm going to just look this up. I'm so sorry.
And then, did I read the last one? Author.
That's
after high concept comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure I did my job.
It says, according to screencraft.org, it says, high concept can be defined as a type of artistic work that can be easily pitched with a succinctly slated premise.
Mm.
Flawed but likable characters.
Okay.
And they overcome something.
Sure.
Desirable types of comedies for major studios. I guess it just means it has a story. And a protagonist.
Like more of a story. Then does that mean, like, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel would be high concept?
Sure.
Comedy?
Okay, I'm looking this up on
in this list.
Wikipedia here. Okay. Characterized by an overarching what-if scenario that catalyzes the following events. So it could be any movie is a high concept, really. Versus, okay. I mean, there's a lot of, it just can be a kind of explained in one succinct word. Basically one, like, the concept of the movie can be described in one sentence. So, like, this movie, what if a serious author decided to write a trash novel and got away with it? Or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. This movie got an 81 Metascore with...
Very nice.
53%... Sorry. Oh, my God. 53 positive, 1 mixed, and 0 negative. It was 98% of it, so that's why I got confused.
You were switching the percentage of the number.
I was doing reviews. It so wrong here. The only
one mixed review. Yes. That's amazing.
It's a 60.
But only one or a couple 100s? One, two, three? Yep. Three 100s?
Yeah.
That seems so weird to me. Like, with only one mixed review?
I know. Yeah. Really, I mean, it's a pretty much, like...
Doesn't that seem weird?
To me, this movie is definitely in the green. I wouldn't give it a 100.
No. But I definitely give it... I think an 80 is solid.
For some reason... The 80 is great. I totally agree with you. For some reason, though, this 100 from San Francisco Chronicle... I'm sorry I'm going out of order here, but it says... American Fiction is not a perfect film. That's what it starts off with. And it's like, how is that a 100, then? I'm sorry, Metacritic.
That is a 100.
That's... You start off with that. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. The book trails off at the finish... And though the movie comes up with something better, the end still doesn't feel ideal. But none of that matters as much as it might, because Wright gives the perfect performance. So he gave a 100 to Jeffrey Wright.
And you know what? Valid.
Valid. I give 100 to Sterling K. Brown, because in my opinion... I mean, I love that guy. I seriously, like... Especially him as this character.
Sandra, I think he's like one of your, like, celebrity crushes. Like, every time we talk about Sterling.
It's so true.
You're like that man.
If he was standing in front of me, okay, let's just put it this way. I mean, like, truly, if Sterling K. Brown, if I got to see a play with him, I would freak out. It was like, if Jeffrey Wright were in front of me and also Sterling K. Brown, I would go to Sterling K. Brown first. Like, I...
Wow.
I know. And I do really like Jeffrey Wright. I'm just saying, like, I would be more inclined. It's just,
he's not Sterling. He's not Sterling.
Just really like him. What can I say?
He just has this charm that you just gravitate towards.
It's like, the charm. Just, you're so right.
He's mesmerizing. He's absolutely, he's just a dream.
He's a dream. I would not exactly say that about Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Wright is a good, serious actor for sure. And he has a great voice. My God, his voice is fantastic. I think it's, he doesn't have that. I want to
listen to an audiobook, like, narrated by him. Yeah. I think it must be so soothing.
He's got a beautiful voice. I mean, truly.
Yeah. He's got such great
voice. You're right. It is that Sterling K. Brown is so, he is so flirty.
Magnetic.
He's flirty. Okay, you gotta just read
that. Awe-inspiring.
The 60.
Well, you're the one who derailed us. Okay,
I'm
here we
sorry.
Go. So we've got the one mixed review we have here is a 60 by Little White Lies. There are some great things in this film, yet its intentions are swept up in a mire of tonal indecision and cynicism masquerading as irony. I definitely agree with the tonal indecision, but I think the cynicism, like, I think that was very intentioned. Like, mm-hmm. That was the point.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's so true. It's so true.
Yeah.
I want to read this 64 from the Globe and Mail in Toronto. It says, despite strong performances across the board, most notably Wright, who has never before been able to flex such leading man magnetism, there is an overriding flatness to Monk's personal life.
Oh. Well, okay. I don't completely disagree with that.
Yeah. I'll read the 75 from Associated Press. It says, the film is immensely watchable. Staged without flash... Okay, I'm going to restart. The film is immensely watchable. Stage without flash or pretension that relies on its sharp script and talented and charismatic actors to carry the audience through. Wright is particularly delightful at the center of it as he navigates a new relationship as well as the consequences of his lie and how far he's willing to go with it.
Yeah, the only part that kind of took me out of it was it was his manager's, like, idea to be the convict on the run. I was like, okay,
I know
that was
like he's an escaped
really
convict
set up,
like, he did time. I mean, just to make it more credible, it's just kind of like telling this, like, even more insane lie.
Yeah, like out of the entire movie, like, that definitely felt the like that probably should have been the point that made me think, okay, maybe this isn't reality, and maybe we are kind of dipping into a movie or, like, a, you know, a book. Like, this isn't, like, because, you know, some people, a lot of books will break the fourth wall or movies will break the fourth wall where they're like, oh, this isn't a romance book. My life can't be like that. Yeah. It's like, that was the part where it was like, maybe that should have been, like, the hint that maybe this isn't reality. Because it was the most far-fetched part and the most, like, silly of, like, the whole movie.
There was a lot of silliness, I think, thrown in there. So, I don't know. It kind of had that feeling that it wasn't quite reality in the way that people would handle situations. And I think that kind of attributed to the tonal shifts that we had.
Ooh, you know what would have been interesting? So, like, if we have the movie start off with it just being, you know, it's this person's life, and we don't know that it's, like, being written for a movie or for a book yet.
Yeah.
But then, like, by the middle of it, we kind of get that, like, the wall's broken, the wall's been taken down, and then we're kind of, like, flip-flopping between what's getting put in the movie and, like, what's actually happening in real life. Like, kind of seeing, like, this, like, seeing Monk's life, just how different it is being portrayed, because we know that with biopics and autobiographies and or like, you know, just kind of things that are inspired by people's lives. They can often be slightly different or even completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And like that would have been a very interesting kind of flip flop to the pacing of the movie. To
I totally agree.
Like just kind of completely twist it on its head.
I think that would have made it a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree with you. It's a good concept and the name of the movie can still be the same.
Yeah.
Any other ones you want to read?
You already read one of the 100s, but was there a better 100?
If you want to pick one.
The San Francisco Chronicle wasn't like bad because it gave the 100 to Jeffrey Wright, which I mean, valid.
The Boston Globe.
I'll do the Boston Globe. So I'm going to read this 100 from the Boston Globe. The satire isn't as brutal as it could have been and perhaps needed to be, but overall I thought American Fiction was a rousing success that got me thinking about my own experiences. Okay.
I like that.
Thinking about my own experiences. Yeah, because again, this movie was very relatable. But yeah. All right, is that all we have?
Yes.
To say about American Fiction? All right. If you have not seen this movie, definitely go check it out.
It's great.
Especially for Sterling. He was amazing. And so was Jeffrey Wright. But and it's nominated for an Oscar, so even every other reason to go watch it. But if you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and IMDb. We are also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. If you want to email us, please do that at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. And we have merch, so please check that out. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.